Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and thank you, Lord, again for the privilege of delivering your word to your children. Father, so anoint both speaker and listener this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody again said, amen. Last Sunday, we spoke about the anointing that was placed upon the life of Christ and why he was anointed, the purpose behind it, and the results of it. And this morning, I want us to understand that when Jesus was anointed, of course, he's very God and very man, but when he was anointed, he was anointed as man. In other words, though he was born, the very Son of God, both deity and carnality at the same time, he was both flesh and spirit. He could not operate in the 32 and a half years that he was here. He did not operate as God. He did not operate as God until he rose from the dead. Everything he did, he had to do as man. That's why he was anointed, because he required the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be placed inside of him, just as man does today, to be effective. Do you understand that? And so I want to talk about that anointing for us. I want to talk about the fact that when you think about the anointing that Jesus had, you know, healing came through the workings and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ. Deliverance came through, raising of the dead, and ultimately the enduring of the cross. And I think that we need to understand the real depth of the anointing that was made available to us as well, its purpose, its intent, and its goal, not only for Jesus, but now for us. 1 John 2:27 says, but the anointing which ye have received of him, listen to these next three words, abideth in you. Say, that's me. So we know that that same anointing that was pronounced in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus said, the Lord hath anointed me, that same anointing, the Bible says, abideth in me, or in you, in us. And in Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. So we know that the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as active as the Holy Spirit was through Christ as man, the Holy Spirit is, you know, the Holy Spirit's intent is to be as active in the life of the believer today. We're not here to go to the cross for Christ. We are here because Christ went to the cross for us. Amen? But he went to the cross for us, not just so that we could have eternal life, but so that we could accomplish globally what he accomplished geographically. That's why he said that he would have us commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I think that we should begin to seek and understand the depth of this anointing, understanding why God delivered the anointing into our lives. What was his plan and purpose for that? Was it just to do these healing things that you see on TV, or was it more? And what are the gifts of the anointing? I don't think a lot of people today really know what the gifts of the anointing of the Holy Spirit are. Another question is the baptism in the Holy Spirit essential to allow this anointing to flow in our life? Do you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be used in the anointing? The fourth question I want to address is, why can't I seem to see the anointing manifest in my life when I know I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit? How come I don't see those gifts that I know I'm called to be used in? How come they're not being manifested? And then the fifth, can you lose the anointing? And if so, how is that possible if it is given to every Christian? And so I want to address each and every one of these questions, because I think at the end of the day, when we face our Savior face to face, we should ask ourselves, how do we want to be addressed? When we stand before him and he looks into your eyes, do you want to hear, welcome home, thou true and faithful servant, for I am well pleased? Or would you rather be willing to settle for, wasn't I worth living for? Can you imagine if you heard that? Can you imagine if you stood before the Lord Jesus Christ on the last day? Yes, you're saved, but you did nothing for him. And at the end of the day, he asks you, wasn't I worth living for? I thought you were worth dying for. Amen? Amen. So let's look at the first question, why God delivered the anointing into our lives. And I think that's the easiest to answer. And we just simply have to correlate three scriptures together. That would be Luke 4, chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, which we used last Sunday, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 14. Luke said, wrote and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what Jesus said. That's what he was sent here to do. Yet in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after the resurrection, Jesus said, but you shall receive this power. Say, that's me. You shall receive this power, or this anointing, or this dunamis, dynamite, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. As the Holy Ghost came upon Jesus, so the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, Jesus came to be a witness for the Father. He has called us, by virtue of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to become a witness for him. Can you say amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, he says, even so hath the Lord ordained that we which preach the gospel, and preaching the gospel doesn't mean you're an ordained minister. It simply means you spread the good news. If we spread the good news, we also ought to live that good news or live by the gospel. Can you say amen? So, when you think of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the anointing being given to the church, it was given for us under two definitive categories. One, the Holy Spirit was given to us for us. For us. He said, you need not any man teach you, but the Holy Ghost will give you the very words needed. The anointing is for us to be empowered in life to overcome obstacles. Jesus endured the cross by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can endure tribulations and persecutions and rejections and sufferings. We can endure all kinds of calamities in life through the workings and the ministry of the Holy Spirit inside of our lives. Do you understand? Inside of us. But the second category, the second reason the Holy Spirit was given, so that the Holy Spirit may flow through us. And that's where most emphasis is given today, but most ignorance is also revealed. What do I mean by that? I mean there are multitudes of thousands of people that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. They know they have gifts. Many don't know what those gifts are. And I will not ask for raised hands this morning because I might embarrass you. Some of you know by the fact that you've received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but you don't know what your gifts are. But here's the second dilemma. I know my gift, but I don't see it manifested in my life. Why? I know my gift, but I don't see it manifested. I try to be used in it, but nothing happens. I don't see the results. I think that to first address what the gifts are, we need to simply look in the Word of God. Because the Word of God tells us. And you know, the church today, for the most part, the functions and the power of the anointing are manifested in the form of gifts, but the church doesn't willfully or even earnestly desire to seek the manifestation of the gifts any longer. How many church services do you see where people come forward for healing? How many times do you see people come forward who are literally burdened and in bondage or possessed or oppressed with such evil upon their life that they need to be set free, but they don't go to a church to do that anymore. They go to psychologists. They go to psychiatrists. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, clearly defines the gifts. And Paul starts off by saying, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be stupid. I want you to be unlearned. I want you to know about the gifts. And these gifts are important for the church. not just for you, but through you. They're important for the body of Christ to function. And for what functionality? Because of what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And he said that you may be witnesses for me unto all the world. He didn't just pick out 12 people, folks, to be a witness for him. He picked you, and he picked you, and he picked you, and you, and you, and me. Every one of us, he picked us to be witnesses unto him throughout the entire world to spread this gospel. He said, you know that there were times you were Gentiles or you were unsaved. You were carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. In other words, things before you met Christ, before he became personal in your life, so many things had your focus and your attention. But since you've gotten saved and the Holy Spirit's coming in your life, all of a sudden you're in a quandary because you have trouble with focus. You feel like you're being torn from pillar to post. One day you're on fire for God, the next day you're lukewarm and going to sleep. The next day you want to serve God, the next day you don't have time for God. All of these things are symptoms of a sick church. All these things are symptoms of a sick vessel, a sick body. The Bible says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away by dumb idols, even as you were led. Being led by our flesh and emotions and worldly passions is how we were raised. But when you got saved, there became a new element, a new presence in your life that redirects your thinking, draws your focus and attention on the other things that God wants you to pay attention to. But let me remind you, God will not force you to do anything. God won't force you to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He won't force you to seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. He just wants you to know that without them, it's doubtful that he'll have much to say when you meet him face to face, other than enter in. But that's where the conversation will probably end. He said, wherefore I give you, Paul writing this now, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God can call Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now that's true. Anybody that has received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is able to speak and say, Jesus is Lord. But Paul goes further and he says, there's more to it than just being saved. There's more to this relationship than just being saved. Being saved is for you. Being filled is for the world. Do you understand? Being filled. What do you want? Do you want just for yourself? Is that what you want? Are you, to be a little bit crass, are you just got saved to cover your spiritual derriere? Is that what it's all about? Because if it is, then you'll probably get in by the skin of your chinny chin chin. But do you want more? Do you want what God wants for you in your life? You have to ask yourself that. You have to be truthful about it, too. You have to really be frank and say, I don't know, Lord. I mean, maybe I'm just kind of satisfied being saved. I don't know about this Holy Spirit stuff. I'm not sure about this tongue-talking business. I'm not sure about these gifts. Well, Paul said there's diversities of gifts. Diversities of gifts. But it's the same Spirit. In the word Spirit, there's capitalized. In other words, it's all because of the Holy Spirit. It's not because of you. You don't heal. You don't set people free. You don't speak a prophetic word. You don't pray in tongues. It is the Holy Spirit praying through you. It is the Holy Spirit flowing through you. It is the Holy Spirit delivering people and healing people through you. You are just a vessel, but he is the ministry. And he desires not to just be in residency with you so that you can be taken home someday, but so that you can have an active life with Christ touching the world as you give leeway to the Holy Spirit to flow through you. He said there's differences of administrations, but it's still the same Lord. You know, the church will tell you today that stuff's for yesteryear. No, it's the same Lord. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say amen? God doesn't change. He's never changed. He hasn't brought something to the church and taken it away. He brought and delivered the Holy Spirit unto the church so the church could be the church. Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus wouldn't have any impact on the lives of people in this world anymore. He said these operations are diverse, but God, everybody say, but God, is he that worketh all in all. I've seen over the years, decades, I've seen preachers behind pulpits laying hands on people, and God's no more in it than the man in the moon. I've seen people blown down by the breath of somebody standing behind a pulpit as if he is some great image of God, but he is not. But I've also seen God move in the same way and be God. And there's a definitive difference when it's God and it's man. You understand me? Say, well, I don't know about that stuff. That's a little bit out of the ordinary for me. Well, you know, there's nothing ordinary about God. Amen. I mean, think about it. You're serving the great creator. You've never met him. You've never seen him. You've never felt him. You've never touched him. But he created everything, and you believe that. Now, if that's not strange, what is? God's not ordinary. God is extraordinary. God is extraordinary. He is super ordinary. He is beyond our comprehension. He's the great I am, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He is everything that ever was and ever will be. Amen? That's God. He said that, I mean, think about this. The administration and the operation of the Holy Spirit in the lives of his children, the administering and the delivering and applying of the operation of the gifts comes exclusively through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works exclusively through what Christ did at the cross. We can't even begin to feel the workings of the Holy Spirit if we're not based and rooted in the cross of Calvary. If we've only visited Calvary for salvation's experience and we're saved, where our name's written down in the reservation book, and we can get to the front door of the gate and say, here's my reservation, that's fine, but God's got more than just a reservation for us. He's got a determination for what we ought to be doing while we're yet here. The gifts are spiritual. They may have physical benefits, but many of them have tremendous spiritual significance to them. Many people are healed physically because of a spiritual reason. I believe that God has been extending my years, these 4 years with cancer, because he's got a spiritual reason for it. He's not healing my body just so I can be healthy. He's healing me because he wants to use me. You understand? I think that at the end of the day, anything that can be done on a short-term basis, and when I say short-term, I mean there are 70, 80, or 90 years in this life, may have some value to us personally, but the fact of the matter is the best thing that you can see are those things which have eternal benefit to them. He said the manifestation of the Spirit, listen to me, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, gender friendly, every man and woman. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every single child of God to profit withal. That doesn't mean to make merchandise. That doesn't mean to financially make profit. But what it means is that you are in a position to store up treasure that's in heaven. He's given to every man. You receive Christ as your Savior. He has given you, inside of you, in the innermost part of your being, the Holy Spirit dwells in the true heart of a child of God. And the Bible says that just like on the day of Pentecost, when there came a rushing mighty wind and it filled the house where all of them were at, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came up and flowed out of their mouths and praying in spirit. They were speaking. These 120 people didn't open their mouth and all of a sudden they go, things came out. It's not what it did. That's not what happened. What they did was they sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit so vibrant inside of them that they could feel something foreign, something new, something fresh, something so powerful inside of them. And they yielded to that as they began to sense that God wanted to speak through them. You say, wow, that would have been cool. How many think that would have been cool for you? It's there. God gave the Holy Spirit for all men to profit withal. Amen. Every single one of us, every single child of God, has the ability to allow the baptism of the Holy Spirit to flow from their innermost being and flow through them. He won't speak through you if you don't move your mouth. Well, how do I pray? How do I pray? Well, first of all, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is always evidenced in speaking in other tongues. Some people say, no, it's not. Yes, it is. You want to have a Bible-thon? We'll have a Bible-thon, and I'll prove to you it is. But people say, well, I don't know about that tongue stuff. I can handle the other stuff, but I don't know about that tongue stuff. Well, who decided to give the Holy Ghost? You or God? Whose rules are you playing by, yours or God? Well, I'm not comfortable with that. Who said you had to be? Well, I don't quite understand it. Who said you had to understand it? He said you don't want to be ignorant of it. He wants you to know it, but he wants you to know not to be foolish of it. Not to play with it like it's some kind of a toy, but to be respectful of it. And allow the Holy Spirit to flow through. You know how I began to speak in other tongues? I was doing a thesis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I was in the middle of a shower, and I started praying. And in the middle of praying, I started singing, and as I sang, I started to sing in a heavenly language. I got so overwhelmed by the presence of God. I was singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Rokoshibran, brosokele, randobolan, rashamito, koroshe. Wow. I had goose pimples all over my body as the Spirit of God began to flow through me. And I've never stopped since. Never. And I'm not a nut. I'm just a vessel that wanted to be filled. Do you understand me? Amen. Number three, the question is the baptism of the Holy Spirit essential? Is it really essential for this anointing to flow? Listen to this. And I want you to understand this. In the Old Testament, and this is where we can get educated a little bit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit flowed upon certain men. It flowed upon King Saul. He was anointed. And God allowed him to have the mind of a prophet and to actually prophesy with the prophets. And he gave him a heart after Israel. God anointed Elijah. He anointed Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Zechariah. He anointed Haggai, Nahum, and Habakkuk. He anointed all of these prophets. But the anointing was upon them. Do you understand me? The reason the anointing was upon them and not in them is because they weren't saved. They had not come to the cross of Christ. They had not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They still were sinners destined to an eternal hell. So God could not go inside and flow through them, but God had to come upon them and use them. Do you get it? But since Calvary, he said, go and tarry ye here and wait a while until you be endued with power. Dunamis, dynamite, but until you're endued with the power of the Holy Ghost, and you will be witnesses for me. From that day forward, God is no longer intended to come upon man, but to flow into man and to flow through us. Yes, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is essential, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Why is it important to understand that we need, each and every one of us, need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why is it so important that this anointing must be activated in our lives? Why is it so important that we must be accessible to this world? And accessible and effective only because of the anointing. And let me tell you why. Think of this. Number one, Jesus was raised from the dead. Where did he go when he was raised from the dead? He ascended into heaven, okay? And he sitteth at the right hand of the Father. When he went into the grave, he went down into the earth and set captivity free. But when he raised from the dead, he had already finished his work, and he ascended into heaven, and he sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is where? In heaven, seated where? At the right hand of the Father, and he's no longer physically here on earth. Can you say amen? Nobody has seen Jesus walking the streets of Galilee anymore or the streets of Jerusalem anymore. He's not walking on the water anymore. He's not here. He's in heaven. Amen? Now, I know he's omnipresent. Don't misunderstand me, but that's a part of being the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I'll explain that to you, being omnipresent, in just a moment. He's omnipotent and omniscient. He's all-knowing. He is the great I Am. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Bible says the Father is seated upon the where? The what? The throne. So now you have, within a triune God, you've got the Father upon the throne, you've got Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and that leaves one element of the Holy of the Holy Godhead left, and that is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, when I ascend, I will send, when I ascend, I will send the Comforter to you. So when Jesus left this earth and went to sit at the right hand of the Father, he said, now where I touched a few, you may touch many, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit into the world, and you're going to be baptized in my Spirit, and my Spirit will flow through you, and my Spirit, who touched only a few, can now touch a world. Now, if you get that, you understand omnipresence, because omnipresence was not literally taking place until the resurrection and the Holy Spirit was given to the church. Now the Holy Spirit is all over the world. Praise God. Now, before I go any further, there's an event coming called the rapture of the church. If the Holy Spirit's presence is confined to the body of Christ, and it is, and the rapture were to take place tomorrow, what do you think the world would be like if the Holy Spirit's confinement is to the church and the church is no longer here? Do you understand? You begin to understand Revelation chapter 4 and forward. You can understand how evil and deplorable things get because the Holy Spirit is no longer here. The Holy Spirit's presence after the rapture of the church is so limited by a few prophets that all hell breaks loose. That's why the power of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, is so easily prevailed upon the lives of people, because there's no real influence left. They've already missed their chance. But for a few that come through the tribulation by the hands of just a few handpicked prophets, will some still yet be saved. And then at that final day, when Israel bows their knee and sees the Lord Jesus coming in the clouds with his army, and he steps foot upon the mountain again, and then they bind this Satan, this beast, this squirming snake for 1,000 years, Israel will then be saved. The Holy Spirit was delivered unto the church after Jesus' resurrection, and the Holy Spirit is the only means by which the world can be reached. No other way. If the Holy Spirit then is confined to the church, it is within the hearts of those that are Christian. How much more important would it be then that the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the baptism of the Holy Spirit be loosed through us to reach a lost and dying world? You see, like I said, the Holy Spirit was given for two reasons. Not one was for us, and that's fine. We got saved, you're safe, you're home, you bought your ticket. But in order to reach the world, it's the through us part that is so very important, that the Holy Spirit must have access. And so how does he have access? By baptizing us in the Holy Spirit. And being baptized in the Holy Spirit, let me remind you of something, because this is going to give you in line to my next statement. It's not a single event. It's a beginning event. It's a beginning event. It's an event that takes place and first evidenced by praying in the Holy Spirit and feeling that supernatural presence of God begin to pray through you in an unknown tongue. It's so wonderful. But that's for you. I pray in tongues a lot, especially since cancer had visited my life. I pray in the Holy Spirit a tremendous amount of time. And it brings me tremendous comfort and resolution to a lot of problems that I can't deal with. But the Holy Spirit is not here just to pray through you for you, but to do his work through you for the lost and dying world. And that's where we come to the next question. And that is, why don't I see this anointing? That I know I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I know because I've prayed in tongues, and I know I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I know that God's called me for certain gifts, and I try and be using it, but I don't see anything really definitively happen in my life. Or I know we got gifts, but I don't know what the gifts are. Why is all that? Well, let me give my answer in asking a question to you first. How do you know you're baptized in the Holy Ghost? Well, because I spoke in tongues. Okay? You spoke in tongues. How often do you speak in tongues? How often do you pray in the Holy Spirit? Now, listen to me. You're telling me that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. How often do you pray in the Holy Ghost right now? Do you pray every single day throughout the day? You find yourself praying in the Holy Spirit? Have you set time aside, or do you find yourself getting in the car and not even being interested in listening to anything but the Holy Spirit pray through you? Do you find yourself maybe at least an hour a day spending time with God and beginning to pray in the Holy Spirit, and your prayer tongue is so alive? Or maybe it's not all day. Maybe it's not every day. Maybe it's once a week, once in a while, once when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see, I said the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the beginning of something. It's not the single event, but it's an ongoing event. The initial evidence in the baptism of the Holy Spirit is and always will be the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You may not speak in tongues very long. You may just say a few words, and that'll be it. But all of a sudden, as you continue to yield, the Holy Spirit will pray through you more and more frequently. And you will receive direct benefits from that you don't even begin to understand, because there are needs in your life that you don't even know exist. And there are battles coming upon your life that you're not unprepared for. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, it is doubtful that you will be the victor in those battles. Most people today, and I mean this, and I say this with a grieving heart, but I think most people today have little or no appetite whatsoever for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They would rather just leave church to being simply church and not get into this other stuff. The mighty move of the Holy Spirit that swept this nation back in the 30s, the mighty move of the Holy Spirit that moved through the church in the 70s and 80s, of which I was a part of, and saw such vitality and growth and spiritual fervor and hunger, has waned tremendously over the past two decades. Why? I think there's two reasons. Fear of rejection by others. Fear of rejection by others. Or even more importantly, no spiritual appetite for it. Not interested. Not interested. Most churches today don't believe in tongues. They declare tongues were for some other time. Or tongues are restricted for a fanatical, exclusive bunch of simpletons. Tongues, it's only for the simples. It's only for those that are not intellectually qualified. Those that are unlearned. Those that are stupid. Those are hillbillies, rednecks, and country folks who are just, the only thing they got is church. Well, God bless them, man. I wish I was there right now. Because I've never looked at the Apostle Paul as a simpleton. I've never looked at the Apostle Peter as a simpleton. I've never looked at the Apostle John as a simpleton. I've never looked at Mary, the mother of Jesus, as a simpleton. I've never looked at them as being fanatical, but simply sold out 100%. And they all spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And they prayed daily. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. That's how active his prayer tongue was. That's how active his prayer tongue was. You think Paul was an idiot? Then don't come to church, because he wrote most of the New Testament. My goodness, don't follow an idiot. Amen. But if you don't believe he was an idiot and you believe he was true and he was truly the Apostle Paul, then listen to what's being preached today and understand the church of this conservative atmosphere, the church that has become so unradical, the church that has become so Laodicean, the church that has become so Nicolaitan, the church that has become so comfortable in its earth suit and its entertainment and its blasé agenda. Flush it. Go with what the apostles said. Go exclusively with what the Word of God says and ignore the rest. And I assure you, you will have one more happy day in your life. Okay, last statement. I don't see the Holy Spirit manifested in my life. Listen to me. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the gifts are there. You ready for this? If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the gifts are there. You get that? He's bestowed gifts upon all men. It's up to us to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There were 120 people in the upper room on that day waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to take place. They were seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You understand? It doesn't mean that you don't have the gifts. They're there. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want to move in your life with these gifts either. What it does mean, and this may be offensive to you, but I don't mean it to be, but it's the truth. What it does mean is God will not use an unclean vessel. He won't use an uncommitted vessel. He will not be considered casual or used at your leisure. He's not a God of convenience. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is never to be considered in your control. What it clearly means when you don't see the gifts truly manifest that you feel you know you should have or do have, or you have identified with, I'll tell you what it means. You ready for it? You don't have enough time for God. Somebody say amen. It's the truth. You don't have enough time for God. You may say you have gifts, and you do. You may say you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you have. But you don't have the gifts manifested because you don't have time for God. But you want Him to have time for you. You see, God won't flow through a vessel like that because that kind of a vessel can't handle the gifts of operation. Can't handle it. Attention will be drawn to the individual. And as a result of it, the fifth comes into place, and that is, can I lose the anointing? Yes, you can. Use it or lose it. Embrace it. Respect it. Or God will find another person to flow through. And you will be the loser. Is that what you do, that? You will be the loser in that scenario. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is not a piece of merchandise. Simon the Sorcerer learned that. Oh, I want that. How much does it cost? People are profiting off of the so-called ministry of the Holy Spirit, and God's not got a bit to do with what's going on in it. If these people could heal in the rampant manner and in the droves of people that they claim to heal, why aren't they at the hospital on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Why do you have to buy a ticket to see them? You got people that are in bondage with homosexuality. You got people that are in bondage with drug addiction. You got people that are in bondage in marriages that are evil and dangerous to be in relationships. You get pedophiles out there. You've got all kinds of diseased people and sick people out there. And there is one answer alone, and that is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And we are the embodiment of God on earth. And if we don't allow that to take place in our life, where does that leave the rest of the people? You want your family saved? Get on with the Holy Ghost in your life. You want your friends saved, get on with the Holy Ghost in your life. But don't come crying on the day of judgment and you say, oh, I wish my mom and dad, my brother, my sister, my daughter, my son got saved. I wish I could have reached my neighbor. I wish I could have done this and done that. And he'll say, you had opportunities, but you made no time for me. Let me close with these two scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. In this great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but there are also vessels of wood and of earth. That simply means gold and silver, a type of holiness. Wood and earth, a type of carnality. There will be carnally minded people going to heaven. There will be holy minded people going to heaven. But he said, some will be honored. Listen to me. On that day, some will be honored and some dishonored. And that simply means they'll be barren. There'll be no reward in heaven. You may have eternity in the Master's house, but there'll be no reward. Every day for eternity, you will see those that have labored on this earth for the glory of God and not for the comfort of themselves. But for eternity, you will see them enjoy their riches and glory. He said in the 21st verse, if a man will purge himself, do you know what that means? If a man is willing to purge himself, go through the grueling task of getting on your knees and saying, God, please fill me. Fill me, Lord. Fill me to overflowing. When I'm done praying, I'm not going to open my mouth again until I feel your presence inside of me. And then when I begin to speak, I will speak with the Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord. I want you so much. I want to build up treasures that are eternal, not made of wood, hay, and stubble that will burn up in that fire that day. I want to face you that day and hear you say, enter into your rest, thy true and thy faithful servant. If you'll purge yourself, the Bible says, purge yourself from these. You will be a vessel unto honor. You ready for this? Preferred, sanctified, and ready for the Master's use. Glory. Ready for the Master's use. Prepared unto every good work. Fame and fortune may never come your way. I may never see a church of thousands, although I'm beginning to realize we might have church of thousands out there already just listening to the preaching. But I'm not looking at the numbers. I'm looking at the lost. Win the lost at any cost. Get yourself out of the way. Make room for God. He's made room for you. You've got a place at his table. Don't you think you ought to earn it a little bit? Be used of him. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Flow through me. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I have tried my best, Lord, to communicate this message that you have given me. And I pray, Father, that through even the frail, weak, feeble attempt that I have given, that you will resonate these words into the hearts of your children. And that they will realize the importance of being filled with your Holy Spirit, not just to speak in tongues, but to have that beginning and to be used in the gifts for which you have placed within their hearts already, to flow through them, Lord, and touch a lost and dying world. Let us be a part of that great commission, I pray, in Jesus' name. I want to ask you, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, please. How many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit already and you've spoken in tongues? Lift your hand all the way up. Put your hand down. If you've not spoken in tongues, don't put your hand up. Only those who have prayed in the Holy Spirit and you know that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me see your hands one more time, please. I won't embarrass you. Thank you. You, above all, have prayed in the Holy Spirit. You have experienced that initial great event. What have you done with it since then? My question to you is, are you ready to make a commitment to move forward with that gift? Lift your hand up if that's you. If you are, thank you. Those of you who have not spoken in tongues, this is the first you've really learned of it. You've never really fully grasped it. You don't fully understand it. But you're willing to seek it just simply because the Word of God says so. And that's good enough for you. Lift your hand up. I want to see your hands, please. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. For you that have lifted your hands up, I admire you because you're willing to go beyond your understanding and say, I want it, Lord. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come up here and I'm going to pray and some cataclysmic event's going to take place in your life. But what I am going to do is I'm going to continue to teach you so that when you're ready, God is already ready and it will take place, I assure you. In the interim, between now and the next time we meet, you may be in the shower. You may be driving down the road. You may be sitting in your parlor. You may be going to bed at night. You may wake up in the middle of the night and feel the presence of God come over your life. And you're praying, and all of a sudden, the presence of God fills your innermost belly. And you begin to pray. And you say, Lord, if this is the Holy Spirit, I'm going to begin to speak, Lord. I'm not going to say, bee, 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 boo, 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 ba, 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 ba. I'm not going to try and make it happen. I'm just going to open up my mouth and begin to pray with this feeling that is inside of me that is so abstract from my being. Flow through me now, Lord, that I may pray and be filled with your Holy Spirit. And it'll happen in the strangest place, the strangest time. It'll happen. And when it happens to you, I want you to tell me about it. In the interim, I'll continue to teach, lead, guide, and direct you so that if that time comes at a later date, you'll be ready for it because God's ready for you whenever you're ready for him. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this time together in your word. And I ask, Father, your blessings upon your children, the obedience of their raised hands and open hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.